Tonight we're going to spend a little bit of time, because it is that time of year, I guess you might say, thinking about the Christian and Christmas. And we have been in this territory before. I've done a lesson like this, or very similar to this, a couple of times in the several years that I have been here. But I thought about, probably about time maybe just to remind ourselves of some of these things once again, even though probably I'm not going to tell you anything new necessarily or anything that we don't know, but we just need to remind ourselves even of the things that we know sometimes, because it tends to get crowded out or we may not remember it as readily as we might like to from time to time. So I pulled out some of my notes and material and folder on this and looked back over some things, and it's been about 5 years since we've done anything on a lesson in regard to this. So maybe that's long enough for us to forget. I've forgotten how long it's been, you know, since we've really done anything like this. So if I've forgotten and I'm the one who did the lesson, you know, y'all, whew, it's way gone. So as we think about this from that standpoint, the Christian and Christmas, this is a wonderful time of year that we all enjoy very much. But there are a couple of things that I want us to spend a little bit of time, not an extensive amount of time tonight, but a little bit of time thinking about, you know, there's some things, some ways, some perspectives about Christmas that, you know, we need to avoid, some things that we do not do in celebration of Christmas. And then flip that around on the other side of the coin, there are a lot of things that we need to embrace, and there are a lot of things that we need to do as Christians during this time of year, and really most any time of year, that would be in harmony with our Christian principles and the celebration of this kind of day. So let's start back with that first idea, how we should not approach Christmas, how we should not look at this particular holiday. And I know in the religious world, to say that there are some things about Christmas that you should not do is almost unusual, almost unheard of in the religious world as a whole, across the grand religious landscape, you might say, of what you call the Christian faith. And yet we have to understand that we must base everything that we do on the principles of Scripture. We must base everything that we do upon what we find in God's Word. And if God's Word allows us to observe things and do things, and there's permission there to advance in a certain direction, then certainly we are fine in doing that. But if God's Word does not give us any information about some things, we need to consider them based on other principles and perhaps proceed with caution, at least in some cases. So as we think about that, on this first area here of some things we don't do or embrace about Christmas, we would have to understand that as Christians, New Testament Christians, that we do not observe Christmas or participate in Christmas in any kind of way that has a connotation that it is a biblically based, church endorsed festival, you might say. Now, you read about many festivals, celebrations in the Old Testament, and this is somewhat akin to those, and yet we have to understand that when you look at the very definition, and you have to go to Webster's Dictionary or somewhere like that, but if you look at the very definition of the word Christmas, it comes from two words that have a Catholic connotation to them, Christ's Mass. Catholic faith observes Mass for their worship, as they so call it. And so this is Christ's Mass, and Webster defines this as an annual church festival kept on December 25th in memory of the birth of Jesus Christ, celebrated generally by special gifts and greetings, etc. Well, that's a good dictionary definition, both from how it's celebrated from a secular standpoint and even a religious standpoint. But now we shift our attention to the Scriptures, and we have to ask ourselves, what does the Bible say? And when we look at the Scriptures, we understand that the Bible is really very silent about Christmas. In fact, you don't find the word Christmas in the Bible. And you don't find a festival or any kind of particular ordinance that is focused on the birth of Christ. Now, the birth of Christ unfortunately, sometimes has been ignored, perhaps, because we have shied away from talking about the birth of Christ because of some convictions we have. That's a mistake, too. That's an extreme that's going the other direction that is also a mistake, too, because there are so many very special biblical stories about the birth of Jesus. And we don't need to overlook those. We don't need to forget those exist. We don't need to treat them as though they're second-class scriptures. That's just as much scripture. That's given just as much by the Holy Spirit as everything else was. And so we need to embrace those kind of things. But in those stories of the birth of Christ, we don't find anything that indicates in any way whatsoever, either at the time of Christ's birth or all the way up through the history of the New Testament church in the Scriptures, which is several decades, that there was any observation at all or celebration of or festival connected with the birth of Jesus Christ. And there's much said about His death and the commemoration of it, that we remember Christ's death. And the important principle, I guess, to think about here for a moment is, you know, without, there would have never been a death if there had not first been a birth. And yet still we have to understand that we speak where the Bible speaks. You know, this is not original terminology with me, but we speak where the Bible speaks and we are silent where the Bible is silent. And the Bible is very silent on making Christ's birth a religious worship festival. It is not silent about the birth of Christ. The Bible speaks very much about the birth of Christ in the Old and New Testament. It's prophesied centuries prior to its actual occurrence. But as far as a religious worship or religious festival or religious connotation or observation of Christ's birth, the Bible is silent about that. It says much about His death and religious observations and events surrounding that. But we must have a thus saith the Lord and not add to God's Word if we're going to be on the safe ground. And because the Bible mentions nothing about Christmas, the Word, or the celebration of Christ's birth, then it does emphasize His life, His teachings, His death, His resurrection. And we have to understand that the Scriptures, early church history from the New Testament and even beyond the days of the close of inspiration, they did not indicate in any way that there was a celebration of Jesus' birth in the early days of the church. In fact, when you go back and do a little bit of history on this, there's no mention of anything about Christ's birth as far outside of the Scriptures, the stories we know in Matthew and Luke, in the prophecies like Isaiah 7 and a few others. There's no mention there in the first 3 centuries of any kind of religious festival or worship service or anything of the like in a spiritual context or a church setting for the first 3 centuries after Jesus' birth. I think that's very interesting. And it would seem that Christmas had its origination with and the connotation and connection with faith and observing the date of His birth more with the Catholic faith than it did anywhere else. And many other faith groups that have contributed to this animal that we call Christmas now, if I can use that terminology, to all the things that are connected with it. But before the 5th century even, there was even no general consensus on the exact date this should even happen. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus was born. It prophesies that He would be. It tells us that He was. It tells us where He was. And many events like that tells us some of the people who were there and so on. But one of the things that the Bible does not tell us, one of the facts that the Bible is completely silent about is the actual date of Jesus' birth. And we all know that December 25th is what the Christian faith in the broad sense has assigned to the birth of Jesus. But before the 5th century, there was no consensus on that. A couple of dates that were major contenders were March 25th, December 25th, and January 6th. And when you read some of the history of this, you'll see that those three dates were often used by different Christian branches of faith in connection with the birth of Jesus. I don't know if, you know, they took a big popular vote and the Electoral College shifted it toward December 25th. That's not the purpose to dig into all of that this evening. But that's what much of the world has settled on. And yet we have to understand, I know Jesus was born on one of the 365 days of the year, because this is before leap year happened. But I know he was born on one of those days. But what day was it? I don't know. I simply do not know. That's the absolute best answer that I can give you. But in the 6th century, the Roman Catholic Church set the date as December 25th. And that day, December 25th, had long been observed in Rome, Roman Catholic Church, had long been observed in Rome as a day to honor the Son, not S-O-N, the Son of God, but S-U-N, the Son in heaven. It was called the Sol, S-O-L, Invictus. And Christmas was not even really celebrated until about 600 A.D. following. So many centuries even after the actual birth of Jesus. And so we must not get the connotation or the thought or put ourselves in such a position that the things we do at this time of the year have a religious connection to them, have a religious festival spirit to them, like some of the Old Testament feasts and festivals. We have no real grounds in Scripture to do that, because the Scriptures do not mention it. The apostles in the early church did not practice it. They did not observe it religiously. And for that matter, we don't even know, based on Scripture, Old and New Testament, we don't even know exactly what day Jesus was born. It's very hard to assign anything that observes this in that kind of way. We don't observe it religiously. Like, we don't light candles for the Advent. We don't burn incense for purposes like they did in the Old Testament. We don't christen babies. We don't keep Lent. Well, actually, I keep Lent. I just don't observe it. But we don't do those things from a religious standpoint. And so with that being said, just in a very brief way, this is obviously not an in-depth treatment of this particular topic, of all the reasons why we don't do this. But those few reasons, I think, are at least sufficient to satisfy us. This is why we're not involved in this from a religious standpoint. It's not a day that we find sanctioned in the Bible or that we're commanded to keep as far as Scriptures are concerned, because the Scriptures are completely silent on this. Obviously, you know, this would be something that we would have a much longer discussion of if we were involved in a situation where we're trying to perhaps show and teach someone who doesn't come from this particular background of understanding. Yet it helps to remind ourselves of this from time to time. So now let's flip the coin and let's look at the other side of it. Well, what can we do this time of year? Well, we don't need to give the world the wrong impression. We don't need to be using terminology and doing things that give the world the wrong impression that we think that this actually is Jesus' birthday. You know, there's a 1 in 365 chance it might be. But, you know, I don't know. But we don't need to give the world the impression by terminology we use and different things of that nature that this is, we're doing this from a religious conviction. Because it's not really so much from a religious conviction as we're thinking about a positive here. We spend our time at this time of the year thinking about a joyous, happy time of year. A holiday, if you will. in that sense. And you know, by the way, you know, there are many in the world today. You kind of get caught in a catch 22 with a little bit of this because you know we know based on our convictions of Scripture that this is the Bible's silent on this, and so we don't want to give the wrong impression. And yet, there are powers that be and forces at work in our world today who want to remove everything about faith and everything about Jesus and everything about the Bible from everything in society. And I'm not in favor of that either. So on one hand, you know, when they quote-unquote attack Christmas and say, you know, there should not be a nativity scene in front of a courthouse, or people shouldn't go around saying Merry Christmas because they're saying the name of Christ and so on, and it offends people who don't have faith in Christ. When they're saying those kind of things, well, I'm not sure I like that either. You know? You kind of get in this little tight spot here where your convictions are one way, and you know you stand solidly on Scripture based on that. But on the other hand, you know, if the courthouse wants to have a nativity scene in front of it, while I don't endorse that from a biblical standpoint, I am opposed to the courts of law saying you can't do that. But, you know, so I get put in kind of a weird place, you know, because of things like that. And I guess maybe all of you share that to some degree. But at the same time, what we have to understand, we can approach this as a time of year that is a happy and joyous holiday season. And by the way, those powers that be and people who say, you know, we should never say Merry Christmas or anything like that, just say Happy Holiday, they need to look up the meaning of the word holiday. Because you know what the meaning of the word holiday is? It means holy day. So they're kind of, you know, shooting themselves in the foot a little bit with this. But here's some things that I think we can do based on our principles and convictions at this time of year. There are many good things about Christmas that we can commend. Many good things about this time of year that I think we can commend. Here are three or four. Number one, this is a time of giving. Jesus said in Acts 20, verse 35, it's more blessed to do what? Give than receive. And one of the things that we see at this time of year is the spirit of giving. So much giving happens this time of year, this month, that almost never happens the other 11 months of the year. And we are compelled as Christians to be givers, not only, you know, on Sunday morning when the basket passes during the collection, but we're compelled to be like Jesus and to be people who give. Because there's a greater blessing in giving than in just receiving. And so, at this time of year, we can be generous. We can show our spirit of generosity. And don't get caught up and be a victim of the commercialization of Christmas in this time of year that there is. But we need to make sure that we raise our children and our families to have this great spirit of giving. Yesterday, I had stepped into a little store and picked up a couple of things that added up to less than $5. And I ran up to the front, was going to buy those, and I was on my way to go somewhere else. And the lady in front of me, she had like some kind of discount card with this particular store where I was buying this. And she said, well, as she was ringing hers up, she said, do I get any points on that? And the lady said, you need $23 to get some points, and you're at $17 or $18 or something. And the lady said, I was hoping I'd get some points today. And I said, ma'am, these things I have right here in my hand would add up enough to give you the discount. I will let you buy them, and I would get my wallet as I'm saying this, and I'll pay you for them. And that way you'll get your points, and I'll get my stuff, and everything will work. And the cashier was like, hey, good idea, you know. And the lady, you know, she looked at the things, and she set them down, and she says, I will just buy them. And I was getting a $5 bill out of my wallet. I said, no, I'm going to pay for it. She kind of pushed me back. She said, I am buying them for you. I said, ma'am, you don't have to do that. I'm going to pay you for them. She says, nope, today is your lucky day. She said, I'm buying them for you. And I kind of put my arm around her a little bit, and I said, well, Santa Claus right here in front of me. And you know, so, you know, I don't know if that would have happened in March or July, but it happened yesterday, okay? So this is a time of year where people are giving. She did tell me, you just pass it on. You do something for somebody else. And so, y'all get on the list. So, here's the second thing. This time of year, the poor are remembered. The poor are remembered. Now, we need to remember them every day of the year. But at this time of year, it seems perhaps there's a little greater emphasis on remembering the poor. You know, we have our shopping project coming up in just a few days that our congregation is involved in every year, where we help someone who not only has special needs, but also from a material standpoint is poor. And every year, those of you in this congregation have given so very, very, very generously to this that we've been able to bless an individual or a family in a way that they probably would not otherwise have been blessed. Because we're trying to remember the poor. Jesus told a parable in Luke 14 that ought to cause us to rethink the way we treat others sometimes. In Luke 14, verse 12, Jesus said, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Remember, Jesus says it's more blessed to give than receive. You will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. We see that happening over and over and over this particular time of the year. And we need to remember to help them spiritually also. Not just materially, as great as that is. But when we can help them spiritually, we need to do that as well. A third thing about this time of year that I think we can commend and love so very much is family is stressed. Now, that's a double meaning. Sometimes family is stressed and family is stressed out. But there is an emphasis on family this time of year, almost more than any other time of year. And we have to understand that this is a time when family gets together and there are family reunions and there's love and laughter and joy. And we got a little taste of that just this last week with Thanksgiving. But this is a time of year when the emphasis is really on being with your family. And we can commend that very highly. And I think we can observe that as much as we can. And here's the fourth thing about this time of year. Even though, as we've already pointed out, there's some misunderstanding, some misapplication about what I'm about to say. And what I'm about to say, I'm not trying to undo everything I said on the first part of the lesson. There is a greater emphasis in our society on Christ this time of year than there is about any other time of year. You know, that can't be all bad, okay? To get people thinking about Jesus. To get people thinking about how wonderful He is. But hopefully we, as Christians, can create an environment where it's not just one day a year that happens. Or one or two weeks a year where that happens. But that it is every day of the year. And we as Christians certainly need to remember our Lord every day of the year. And so with that being said in mind, Christmas it's a legitimate term, it's a legitimate day, it's a legitimate activity for us as Christians to be involved in. I think in many senses it has long lost its original meaning of Christ Mass, just like many other words have long lost their original meaning. I mean, Sunday, that we have used many times already today, originally meant the day of the sun worship. Monday originally meant the day of the moon worship. Thursday was a day for honoring the god Thor. The month of June was a month for honoring the god Juno. So on and so forth. They've all lost their original meaning. But you know what? I observe every Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. And I don't think I missed a June yet. But it has nothing to do with their original connotation. Christmas very much the same way. Here's an interesting thought on this whole thing. This has actually come my way since the last time I did this lesson about 5 or so years ago. And this is an article that comes to some thoughts from a man whose name is Barry Bryson. Barry Bryson is a brother in Christ. I do not know him personally. Some of you may do know him, but I do not know him. But he has some interesting thoughts about this in regard to how, as Christians, we approach a holiday, a time of year that, while it has a lot of religious connotation to it, a lot of religious shadow, you know, hanging over it, how, as Christians, do we observe that without giving the wrong message to the world, or really more appropriately, what Brother Bryson is saying here, how do we observe that, or can we observe that? That's really the question. Can we, as Christians, do we even have any business, you know, saying Christmas and so on and so forth? Well, Brother Bryson writes, the question for a biblical purist, you know, thus saith the Lord, silent, for the Bible is silent, speak where the Bible speaks. The biblical purist is this. May a Christian observe a day of religious significance which is neither authorized nor mentioned in the Bible? The Apostle Paul in Romans 14, 5 and 6 seems to say yes. And that question, or those verses say, one man regards one day above another, another man regards all days alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind or his own opinion, he who observes the day observes it to the Lord. However, Brother Bryson continues to say, more convincing than this, Romans 14, more convincing than this is the example of Jesus. I'd never thought about this before. Jesus observed a religious holiday neither mentioned nor authorized in the Scripture. In John chapter 10, verse 22 and 23, we read this. At that time, the feast of dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was there walking along Solomon's porch. John 10 is called the feast of dedication. What do you and I know that better as? Hanukkah. That's what's Hanukkah today. The background of that is several decades prior to the time of Christ's life, there was a successful revolt at the temple in Jerusalem by a Jewish family named the Maccabees. And the Jews wanted to commemorate that every year, that they had overthrown a pagan force in the temple. And so they started observing what they called the Feast of Dedication, because the temple was dedicated once again for its rightful purposes. And eventually, through the years, that became known as Hanukkah. Well, don't ask me what it means, or certainly how to spell it. However, Jesus was at a feast in Jerusalem that had religious connotation, and it was not authorized by the law. But he was there. And so if Jesus could be present at Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication, if Jesus could be a participant in that, Brother Bryson says, then why can't we celebrate Christmas? One closing paragraph, he says, however we choose to react to the day, the choice is a personal one. Romans 14:5, let each man be convinced in his own mind. However I observe Christmas, will be sinful if I choose it over you, my brother or sister, in our relationship. Personally, though, if I choose to regard the day, I regard it to the Lord. Romans 14. And that's a pretty interesting principle, a pretty interesting perspective on this whole situation and the whole question that comes up from time to time about how we as Christians, what our attitude should be toward this. And I think Romans 14 and then the example of Jesus being present when this activity is going on helps us understand a little bit how we can strike that balance, that we're not giving the wrong impression, we're not saying the wrong things, but at the same time we're participating in what conscientiously we have no serious qualms with from a scriptural or spiritual standpoint. I think that can be a great blessing for each and every one of us. And so with that, Merry Christmas, y'all. And I do hope that this is a good and productive time for you and a good and productive month for you. But more importantly than that, as we said a few moments ago, without the birth of Jesus, we would have never known about the death of Jesus. But because of the birth of Jesus, we know about the death of Jesus. And then beyond that, we know about the resurrection of Jesus. And then we know about the ascension of Jesus. And now we know about the intercession of Jesus on our behalf. And so tonight, if you need the Lord to intercede on your behalf because you have sins, you have issues in your life that have caused your relationship with God to go the wrong direction, you can repent, you can be restored, you can return. If you need to dedicate your life wholly and solely to service in Jesus Christ by being baptized in His name, we encourage you, would you do that tonight as we stand and we sing.